Hey, are you a business owner, entrepreneur, or professional? If so, we want you to apply to be a featured guest on our show. My name is Adam Torres, and I host the Mission Matters series of podcasts. I've recorded over 3,000 episodes, and we are just getting started. How do you know if you'd be a good guest to be on the show? Well, only one way to find out, and that's to apply, but I'm going to let you in on a little secret. We want guests that have a story to tell. Guests with a brand, a product, or a service that can benefit my audience of listeners. If this sounds like you, go to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to Apply. I'd love to talk to you and get to know more about your story. Again, head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to Apply. All right, now let's get into the show.
Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres. You can follow me on Instagram at AskAdamTorres to keep up with my book releases, book tour schedule, signings, all that good stuff. Always love to connect you there. And as always, if you'd like to apply to become a co-author of one of my upcoming books, just head on over to the website, missionmatters.com, and click on Become an Author to Apply. All right, so today I have Edmund Zegarin on the line, and he is founder and CEO at BitOps. Edmund, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Adam.
All right, Edmund. So I'm telling you right now, anybody in logistics and otherwise doing things like what you're doing, I mean, they're the rock stars right now at tech, in my opinion. Because why? Because there's a backup. I feel like at every port, you're seeing a new article in Time Magazine or anywhere else talking about logistics and you know, people trying to get their products and the increased supply, and like that whole supply chain field is just on fire. So I'm really excited to get you on the line today to talk more about what you're doing over at BitOps. And just to get us started, I'll start with our signature question. So Edmund, we at Mission Matters, we amplify stories for entrepreneurs, executives, and experts. That's our mission here. Edmund, what mission matters to you?
You know, Adam, in procurement, we have conflicting objectives that we're always going after. On the one hand, we want to make sure that our technology, our process, our teams are supporting great operations, getting the right stuff to show up at the right place on time. On the other hand, we're also looking to save the business money. So we want to make sure that our activities have a financial impact and enable our businesses to be more competitive. And then, of course, if we did that and in any way neglected compliance or legal requirements, that would be that wouldn't be a win. So we need to keep those three objectives as parameters for anything that we do. And the reason that I personally just got into procurement and why I'm excited about procurement and supply chain and what's happening in the technology space in this area is that I woke up one day and realized that everything in the world around me, in the built space, from the, you know, floors, ceilings, furniture, the paving stones on the street, the asphalt in the road, the concrete in the bridges, it all came through a procurement process. And there was a selection process that went through. And sometimes, if you've ever seen a sedimentary rock face, and you can see how there are different colored bands of rock, and those colored bands represent a selection process that happened in a river where different densities of rock were sorted out based off of their, you know, internal composition. And that's what forms like the sedimentary bands in that rock that you see. And in the same way, like a lot of the way that our world is organized is based off of selection processes that are contained in opaque and, you know, often frankly quite boring administrative processes. And I think that understanding that selection process and helping companies be intentional about it has a tremendous amount of leverage to not only empower businesses, make supply chains run more efficiently and more effectively, but also to give executive leadership teams much more control and power in shaping the world of their customers, their employees, and other important stakeholders.
Fantastic. And love bringing mission-based entrepreneurs and businesses on the line. And so let's go further into BitOps. So tell us just a little bit more about the company overall.
Yeah, so we are a software and artificial intelligence startup. The software is a web application. The artificial intelligence is a machine learning model that refactors large data sets of prices primarily to do price prediction. The combination is what allows us to support procurement teams that are doing not just negotiations, but actually sourcing, contracting, supplier management, and ongoing KPI reporting. So moving from kind of the snapshot or episodic approach to data to an always-on, you know, stream of monitoring for their supply chain prices, costs, and other related business terms.
So how do you use AI to automate supplier negotiations? Like, give me a feel for what that looked like.
Well, so the main way that our automations help procurement teams, you know, manage supplier negotiations at scale is through price prediction. So if you have a sense of how a process will end up, then you can have some programmatic approaches to evaluating what success looks like in each step of the process leading towards that conclusion. And so the first AI feature that is important in this case is just anomaly detection. So if something looks like an outlier, if someone has entered in a price or input a price or uploaded a price or added a price to a bill of materials that is, you know, say an order of magnitude off, we would expect a AI model to be able to identify that as an anomaly or an outlier, and to then have a, you know, action pattern associated with that anomaly, either notifying a user to kind of look into it or review it, or actually, you know, surfacing an action in the application to review kind of in real time. You know, the second way that AI can really play a role in automating supplier negotiations is actually looking and comparing transactions across a very large data set to determine what optimal parameters look like. And this could be parameters associated with the cycle time of a negotiation. It could be the competitiveness of a negotiation, and also the complexity. So you see in procurement, and I don't know if you've kind of like responded to an RFP or an RFQ or, you know, kind of gone through that process of filling out a quote, but it's incredibly laborious. And frequently there are hundreds of questions that you have to answer.
Oh, yeah.
Just in order to submit a quote. What that process does is it really throws the other parameters, like how much time the supplier should have to take, how much competitiveness is optimal for the negotiation to be a success. It throws them out the window. And in place of those parameters, it substitutes pure administrative, laborious process work, which is simply not the best use of time of anyone, suppliers or procurement, during a negotiation process. That time is very valuable, and it's best used creating strategic relationships and understanding what the priorities of every party are in terms of the business outcome.
So, you know, this is a new method that you're proposing. I mean, comparing it to, let's just say, the traditional older methods, and like you said, like filling out that, you know, that long RFP, like to get that done. I mean, what have you been noticing? So as you start putting these in, let's talk about like efficiencies, like things like that. Like, what have you noticed in improvement as you've kind of been going through this and implementing your technology?
It's a great question. And, you know, I think the kind of like the first thing that we noticed is just that, and, you know, if you've kind of experimented with e-commerce or if you've ever sent out a survey, really, you've probably seen this dynamic. The more text fields you add, the lower the completion rate is. And, you know, that can really impact procurement because a lower completion rate is literally a less competitive negotiation. And so if you have the ability through, you know, using artificial intelligence or using models to pre-populate some of those text fields or to eliminate busy work during that process, you can increase the number of potential supply options that you have for your supply chain, which means that you're less likely to get stuck in a bottleneck situation where a supplier isn't able to provide you with a component, a part, lumber, steel, plastic, et cetera. And you have an alternative that can deliver so that you can, you know, deliver to your business unit and deliver ultimately to your business's customers. And so, you know, what we've seen is that traditional procurement over time, because it's so laborious, has really increased the risk as people have consolidated reliance on a smaller number of suppliers who are effectively, you know, willing to fill out all of the form fields or perhaps even have filled them out in the past and so don't need to. And you see that with a lot of companies where they have in their supply chain kind of the usual suspects who are always the ones being turned to. And in some cases, those are like trusted partners who are have a long-term strategic relationship. But in a lot of cases, you're seeing, you know, supply chain by default instead of supply chain by, by optimality.
That's awesome. And so what do you, so all of this change, I mean, how do you see the role of the procurement manager evolving over time with the introduction of AI and more efficient processes? I mean, I feel like that role has to evolve. Like, what do you see that looking like?
That's an awesome question. And that's actually something that we frequently do when we're aligning with our customers in terms of like requirements, discovery. And we often do an exercise called like more, more, less, less, where we're like, what do you think there's going to be more of and what do you think there's going to be less of? So, I mean, to answer your question in kind of that format, I would say you're going to see less manual quotes, less manual pivot tables, less traveling for face-to-face meetings and spending weeks on the road, you know, except for, of course, you know, strategic suppliers that you have like these deep long-term relationships with. And you're going to see less, certainly less data living in PDFs, more data living in databases and tables that can be compared and consumed programmatically. And you're going to see less, you know, just kind of administrative steps in a process where those administrative steps could potentially cause the process to be less successful or have a negative impact on like the business objectives of the procurement and supply chain team. You know, and I think, you know, on the more side, you're going to see more third-party data is like a major theme. So, you know, instead of asking a supplier to fill out a survey, you know, entering in their address or their, you know, number of employees, you know, all of this data is publicly, in many cases, available on the internet. And so companies are buying third-party data about their suppliers rather than going through this like lengthy survey-based process. So that's like something we're really bullish on. I think a lot of our customers will actually consume third-party data through our application. Another thing we're seeing a lot more of is this desire to influence more spend. So this desire really to like apply procurement's power to categories that haven't been competitively sourced or haven't been looked at from a price standpoint or checked against the market. So companies are really trying to get close to 100% in terms of procurement's influence, at least within their addressable spend. And, you know, the last thing I'd say you see a lot more of is just more processes that have fewer steps and where the optimal outcome is the default outcome. Instead of the optimal outcome, you know, being something that takes more work and more effort and a lot of kind of manual focus. If you can use automation to make the optimal outcome, the default outcome, to make every transaction look more like your best transaction, that's just a huge win.
Fantastic. Well, Edmund, this has been a great having you on the show today and getting your insight on procurement and what's happening in logistics in general. So great conversation. If somebody's listening to this and they want to learn more about BidOps or to connect with you and your team, final question, two-part question. Number one, what is typically the type of company, whether it's size, revenue, industry, I don't know, but what type of company typically gets the value out of working with BidOps, number one? And number two, what's the best way for those companies to follow up and to connect with you and your team?
Great, great questions. So typically we do work with enterprise companies. So these are companies that on the smaller side are doing, $100 million in revenue and have at least one dedicated procurement staff. And on the larger side, we work with, global enterprises over 10 million that have, 1,000 person plus procurement teams. So those kind of size of companies, in terms of like the industries that like get the most value, automotive, food and beverage, pharma, technology, and construction are all big areas that, we have like really great case studies and good references in. But really any procurement team that's passionate about using data to get better outcomes, that tracks KPIs, cares about, savings and providing value to the business, like that type of, team is always a team that we're excited to partner with. And then you can find us, on the web. We're at bidops.com, BIDOPS.com. And we have a pretty active presence on LinkedIn. So if you are curious about, case studies, or you want to hear like customer testimonials, we have some videos recorded of people who've had great experiences with the system. And, we also love to interact with people on LinkedIn. So you can write us a message there too.
Fantastic. Well, Edmund, again, thank you for coming on the show today. And to the audience, as always, thank you for tuning in. Hope you got a lot of value out of this. Hope you learned a lot. If you did, don't forget, hit that subscribe button. We definitely want you to be a return listener and a return visitor on the show. Edmund, again, thank you for coming on the show. It's been a pleasure.
Adam, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.